Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Everyone knows that the best way to tell a good story is over a good drink. Spirit in a Bottle, tells and drinks from Tito's handmade vodka, brings them together. In its first ever cocktail book, Tito's offers fans recipes, mixology tips, and a never-before-seen look at its journey from a one-room distillery to becoming America's favorite vodka. Order your copy today at titosvodka.com/book. Read it and sip with Tito's. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
And now, prepare yourself for the only talk radio show you'll want to turn up.
Crank this thing.
Sirius XM Pandora presents the place where your hard rock and metal voice can still be heard.
You bet your ass, baby.
Unfiltered, uncensored, say whatever you want.
Hit the record button. Anything can happen, you know?
I know that ain't nobody out there came to be mellow tonight, now did you? I say there ain't nobody. I say there ain't nobody not out there that even wants to be a little bit mellow, now is there? Anybody wants to get mellow, you can turn around and get the fuck out of here, all right?
This is the Trunk Nation Podcast with host Eddie Trunk.
Welcome, everybody. It's Eddie Trunk, and this is the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Interviews with your favorite rock and metal artists. New episodes every Thursday. Available totally free wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for subscribing and checking it out. And again, the interviews you hear on this podcast originated on my Sirius XM radio show, Trunk Nation, which you can hear Monday through Friday, live 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time on Volume, channel 106. Nightly re-airs 10 to midnight Eastern. Anything you want, anytime you want on the Sirius XM app. Please be sure to join me for the radio show if you're in the U.S. or Canada and come on board with us at Sirius XM. Everybody else, this is a chance for you to hear around the world some of the things I'm doing on the radio every day. And it's a lot of interviews. The last couple of weeks have been a lot of guests. Now, at the time you're hearing this podcast, I am at sea on board the Monsters of Rock cruise, which was postponed because of COVID last year and is out at sea right now. And if you have Sirius XM, be sure to join me because I'll be broadcasting for a couple days from the ship with a lot of different artists. So hope you will join me on the ship. Maybe you're on the ship with me. Maybe you'll join me on the radio listening to me from the ship. Or maybe you'll just hear what went on the podcast next week. But I hope you come on board on the radio show. And I'm excited to be back on the cruise and back hosting that. I've hosted everyone ever since they started. So that's really, really cool stuff. All right, so this week on the podcast, I've got two interviews for you once again. We're going to start with the legendary lead singer from Cheap Trick, Robin Zander. I just saw Robin a few weeks ago at a great event in Key West, Florida called Rock Island. I've known the Cheap Trick guys for decades. Great people, needless to say, fantastic band. And they have a Vegas run of dates coming up, end of February, beginning of March. So Robin wanted to call to tell us what was going on with those and the format for those shows, which you'll hear all about. And we get into some other stuff as well. This interview, by the way, with Robin Zander was done on Zoom. So that means there is a complete video of it as well. And for Sirius XM subscribers, you can see that on the app. Second interview coming up after Robin Zander is with guitarist Richie Kotzen, one of my favorite guitarists and singers, and also an old friend. Richie was calling in to promote dates that he was doing with Adrian Smith of Iron Maiden. But since this interview happened live on my radio show, those dates have since happened. But it's still interesting to hear him talk about this band he has with Adrian Smith, future prospects, and we also get an update on the Winery Dogs and a lot more. So we'll bring Richie on second this week on the podcast. Robin Zander this week on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Richie Kotzen a little bit later on. Here he is, the ageless wonder. Did this about a week ago, a few days after Robin's birthday. And here's how the conversation with Robin from Cheap Trick went. Enjoy. I've had the great pleasure of seeing these guys recently quite a bit in the last few months. Saw them in Cancun at 80s in the Sand. Saw them just a couple weeks ago in Key West, headlining one of the days of Rock Island. It's always great to see them play live and always great to have the guys on this show. Joining us right now, the voice of Cheap Trick, Mr. Robin Zander. Good to see you, Robin.
Good to see you, Eddie. It's always good to have you around because Cheap Trick needs a little direction in life, you know. You write our set lists. You tell us how to do it.
I don't annoy you too much with that, Robin.
Of course not. It's always a laugh for me. I love it.
I left you alone in Key West.
I asked you if you would, you know, or whatever. But anyway, right. You know, it's always good to have you around.
Well, I appreciate it, man. It's good. Well, thank you. It's nice of you to say. It's good to have you guys around still kicking ass after all these years. I texted you a happy birthday, but I'll say it on the air. Belated happy birthday. 69 years old a few days ago. How you feeling,
yes.
man?
Yes. I feel fine. I feel great. And, you know, I'm just lucky to be alive. You know, it seems like after all these years of being on the road, something bad should have happened to me, but nothing did.
God forbid. Well, when I texted you, your response to me was like, you texted me back and you go, thank you. Another year closer to death. I was like, what a way to look at it.
Well, it's true. It's not like, you know, that's the truth.
It is true, but you don't usually like to frame it like that. What did you do on your birthday? Just family stuff or what'd you do?
I hung out with my wife and I don't get to do that often. So that was very cool. Yeah. So that's about it. I didn't do much. She got a cake and we ate a bunch of cake and now I'm trying to shed that cake somehow. But, you know, well, when you get older, you got to watch out.
Well, yeah. Well, tell me about it. And when you get older, you enjoy every birthday. I mean, I know that it sucks getting older, but as I said to you off the air, I said, man, most of us would kill like to look like and sound like you do at 40, let alone 69. So, I mean, I talk about it all the time, man, and I'm sure you're tired of hearing about it, but you are one of the people that when I have conversations with my audience, we call this group of people the freaks. And we mean this in the best of ways because they seemingly don't age visually, vocally, and there's a very rare group of people and you're in that group. And I don't know, do you attribute it to just genes? Is it clean living? Do you have a regimen? What is it?
I really don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But, you know, my dad always, you know, seemed to never change. Neither did my grandpa. So, I mean, I guess maybe genes is what it is. But I don't really see that in myself so much. When I look in the mirror, I look pretty old.
Dude, you do not look 69. But are you like a very health conscious guy? Like, are you super careful about what you eat or anything like that? Do you have an exercise regimen or you just wake up and that's you?
I just wake up and that's me pretty much. But I must say that my wife takes good care of me when it comes to the food and she watches what I eat and I don't get much exercise except for what I do on the road, which is quite a bit actually, but no, there's nothing magical about it, I don't think.
You son of a bitch. I wanted to hear you say, oh, I do nothing but juice every day. You know, like,
I don't even like that juicing stuff. You know, I'm kind of a steak and potatoes guy, you know.
Oh, God, that's beautiful. You are so lucky. And what about vocally? I mean, again, every time I see you sing, it's amazing what you do. Are you a big warm-up guy? I'm always curious about this, and I ask singers that. I hear guys that are like, I just walk out and do it, and then I hear guys that have a big warm-up and warm-down regimen. Where are you at on that?
Well, it started out where I could pretty much stay up for 3 days and not worry about it, you know. But that was when I was young. And, you know, back when Cheap Trick first started touring heavily, it wasn't really important. I seemed to be able to handle it, get up and, you know, whatever I'd done the night before and still be able to do it. But as time went on, and this is one thing that I suggest to anyone who's a singer, if you're over 40, you should start warming up before a show because later on in that life, it's going to take its toll on your voice because it's just a muscle. And if you don't take care of it, it's gonna rot. So
are there songs in the you talk about the Cheap Trick set, and we're going to get into the Vegas stuff here in a second, but are there songs in the that come up on the set list, I imagine there are, that are more challenging for you vocally now than they once were? Is there one that maybe Rick will put in or Tom will put in and you're like, oh, I got to do that. That's going to be a challenge tonight.
Sure.
Like, what? Give me a few.
Okay. I would say the ballads, the ones where you actually sing, because the screaming stuff, it comes easier, I think, to me anyway. So songs like, say, Voices or If You Want My Love, that's a tough one for me sometimes. You know, and of course, The Flame has a real high note that's difficult to sing for me sometimes. Take Me to the Top, you know. Songs that are really singer songs are the ones that are harder. But if you warm up, it doesn't become too much of a problem.
One of my all-time favorites, what I'm always hitting you guys with, and, you know, I did a show here not too long ago where we did the Cheap Trick, had people call in with their 20 greatest Cheap Trick songs.
Oh, God.
And one of the ones that was up, and Rick actually called in during that, but one of the ones that was really high up there for me and most of the people that called in was Tonight It's You. That was in the top 2, 3, or 4 overall songs, which blew me away how many others love that. What are your thoughts on that song? Because that, to me, sounds like something that would be a nut buster.
It is, and it fits right in with what we were talking about. It is a difficult one to sing, you know, but, you know, it's good. It's good to stretch out and try to hit that stuff, but it's also good to have a young boy in the band that can help you out with that stuff, too.
Well, and we're going to talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, because he's an amazing. So we're gonna talk about that in a second. But one other thing before we move on from songs, tell me honestly, when I Want You to Want Me comes up, is it like, Jesus God, I got to sing this thing yet again? Because he had him do it every single show since the first record, I would imagine. Have you ever not done it?
No, it's almost like since Budokan. We've had to do it every night because it's always requested. And if we don't do it, we get all kinds of fan mail and stuff like, why didn't you do that song? I'm never coming to see you again. You know, but, I don't get sick of it. No, because the audience really loves it. And I let them sing along sometimes, you know, and I think it's just one of those songs that you have to do.
Yeah. Lineup wise with Cheap Trick, wonderful in Key West to see Tom back in the band. The return of Tom and him coming back after having sat out for a bit. Obviously, he had a heart procedure. It has to be great to have him back out there.
It was wonderful. We all loved it. You know, it's like, you know, getting him back in the family on tour and stuff is just fantastic. And I think he's been, you know, he's been working himself out to where he's ready. You know, it took him a while. We've missed him all that time. Now we've got a good summer coming up. So he says he's ready. Let's do it.
The first thing he did with you. So the first proper show was the Rock Island show in Key West that I was at. But you guys had actually done something prior to that. Was it at the Baltimore Ravens game?
It was.
And what was that? Was, did you just go out and do some songs at halftime? Or?
Yeah, it was so freezing cold. It was unbelievable, but we only had to do a few songs. So it was cool, you know, and everybody, the reaction was great. And those people in that administration there are just wonderful. They treated us like the kings that we're not, you know.
How did it come about that you got hit up to play at the Ravens game in the stadium? Did they just reach out to you?
Well, the NFL has always been friendly to Cheap Trick for some reason. We've done that various times. We did it in Japan once. We did it Kansas City. So this is not new. We've done halftime shows before. This, though, was pretty special because it was like 10 degrees below zero.
Right.
We were freezing, but... Yeah, but, you know, it was fun. You know, we're Cheap Trick. We play almost everywhere.
You really do. With anyone, on any lineup, pop lineup, metal lineup, it doesn't matter. Cheap Trick goes anywhere.
submarines, you know, out in the Atlantic, you know, that kind of stuff.
Have you ever really played a submarine?
No, but we were on one once.
Is that right?
Yeah. We were on one out in the middle of the Pacific just to see what it was like.
I would have been claustrophobic, cool. I would think. I don't know if I'd like it.
Probably not, because I was claustrophobic. I always thought something bad was going to happen to us, but nothing did, luckily.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned Cheap Trick's history with the NFL, which is interesting because Light Up the Fire from the latest album, In Another World, I've heard that a lot in breaks during football games.
Yeah, Monday Night Football. And God bless them for doing that. I had no idea that they were going to do that. And then I was watching it one night, and there it was. It was very cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So while Tom was not playing with the band, your son, Robin Jr., was subbing for him. And I saw that lineup of the band, because that's when you guys played in Cancun when we were there a few months ago. Right, I was amazed at how well he did. And then when I was talking to him backstage, he told me something that blew my mind, or maybe you did as well. He said that he has now subbed for everybody in the band at any position, except for you, of course, singing lead vocals.
That's right.
So he has subbed for Dax and for Rick.
He's starting to knock on that door, believe me. You know, I have to push him back a little bit. But yeah, he's a talented fellow. You know, my son is a wonderful guy, and he's a songwriter, and he just finished recording a record. And hopefully we'll see the light of day in the summer with that. You know, he's just a talented kid, and he's always been interested in playing instruments because they've been around my house since he was a baby. And I never really gave him lessons or anything like that. He just picks stuff up, and he has this wonderful ear where he can teach himself how to play just about anything. And he started playing the drums when he was, I don't know, 3-4 years old. And he just went on from there, and he learned how to play all these instruments, and he knows the songs better than I do. He, you know, it's just a wonderful thing to have him around. And plus now when Tom's back, Robin will go back playing guitar. So it'll free me up to be Mick Jagger or somebody.
You know, I seeing him and seeing how he's developed as a musician, it blows me away, because I remember, God, I want to say it's probably at least 10 years ago or more, I was in the Tampa area, and I was a guest on Mike Calta's radio show there, and you came in while I was there, and
That's
you
right.
were with him, and you guys were like, I see you and this kid setting up in the corner while I'm talking to Mike, and I'm like, what's going on over there?
I heard my hero was going to be in the station, so I know those guys, so I just came. Why not?
But I was like, what's going on? And you're like, oh, yeah, this is my son, and we're doing a thing together. And you were kind of doing, for a little while, you were just kind of going out there and doing some shows with him, right?
Yes, we had to warm ourselves up. We do Cheap Trick material and some of his material and some of my solo stuff. But to get him warmed up to go out with Cheap Trick, it's a good idea to, you know, to take him out locally and do some shows. And we do that once in a while. So it's a lot of fun to do that, too.
Robin, don't take a night off from Cheap Trick, man. Your kid's circling, man. He's coming for your spot, too.
I know. I can't hold him back much longer. Let's say that.
And he looks like you, so, you know, you're really in trouble, man.
Yeah, all he's got to do is, like, dye his hair blonde and, you know, something like that.
All right, let's talk about Vegas. I was telling you off the air, I have a home there now, so if you guys need a place to crash, you know, I'll give you the key.
Hey, be careful what you say, because that may happen.
But you guys are playing at the Stratosphere. You've got four shows, February 25, 26, and then the following weekend, March 4 and 5. Well, it's actually just called The Strat now. They shortened the name. The place is called The Strat.
Right.
Tell me about this. Tell me about Vegas and what people can expect from these four shows.
Well, of course, Cheap Trick tries to shoot ourselves in the foot every time we do anything, but... You know, it just so happens Billy Joel is playing next door at the stadium.
And Metallica that weekend.
Yeah. So, right. But we're going to sneak ourselves in there at this place. And the thing is the idea is a good idea, because we've done it something similar to this before, where we in Chicago at the Metro, we did the first four albums from top to bottom, four nights in a row, which was a lot of fun for us to do, you know. But this time, they wanted us to do Budokan shows. And, you know, that's pretty much what we do anyway. So instead of that, we thought, well, we need to give our fans something different that's fresh, you know, that will work. And so we decided we do a themed four nights. There's only four nights, the last weekend in February and the first weekend in March. So we decided to do decades. And we're going to fit five decades of music into four nights. So in other words, like from 75 to 84, we released In Color, Cheap Trick, Heaven Tonight, One-on-One, Next Position Please, and All Shook Up. So we decided to do these. That'll be the first decade show on the Friday. And then Saturday, we'll do the second one, which would be, you know, the next decade, which is 85 to 94, which the albums then would be like Standing on the Edge, The Doctor, and Lap of Luxury, Busted, and Woke Up with a Monster. So we'll do all music from those albums. Then, okay. And then the next weekend will be the decades three, which would be Budokan 2, the Red Ant record, and Special One. And what we'll do is the Budokan 2, which has other songs that were Budokan that aren't on Budokan 1. And then songs from those other albums. And then the last one, we decided to do like bits and pieces of Sgt. Pepper, because that's when we did that show out there, just to, you know, please the promoters and stuff, because they'd like that, I think. But of course, those are the latest albums, which would be Rockford, Bang Zoom Crazy, We're All Right, the Christmas album, and Another World. Now, those albums, of course, all those are fairly new songs. So we figured if we intertwined, I should say, some of the Pepper songs into that, then we could pretty much pull it off. But now each one of these decades at the end will have like a best of Cheap Trick thing. Like we'll do, you know, The Flame again, and we'll do the big hits at the very end. We don't have big hits, but the only hits we have.
You got big hits for sure.
We'll do those songs at the very end, because it is Vegas, you know, and people will want to hear those songs. So that's pretty much the idea. We haven't decided on exactly what songs we're going to do. So that's yet to come. You know, so if you've got any suggestions from either one of those decades, you better make them quick.
Well, and it just goes, it's what you said about at the end doing the hits, because I was just going to say, because it's kind of like what we just talked about a second ago. If you don't do I Want You to Want Me, if you don't do Dream Police, if you don't do Surrender, if you don't do The Flame, I mean, you're going to have people, especially in Vegas, people coming like through that town, they're going to burn the place down. So you got to put that in there.
But we're kind of used to this. We're kind of used to this because we change our set around every night. And
I know,
you know, as long as you surround those songs with deep cuts and things like that, it works.
You had mentioned doing Sgt. Pepper's. A good friend of mine, Ken Chanchamino, I think he booked you into the Hilton when he was working out there to do that at the time, right?
Yeah, he's
a good guy. Tell me about that. Yeah, Ken's an old friend. Tell me about that experience of doing, because when did you do Sgt. Pepper's out there? How long ago was that?
Oh, God, please. I want to say, like, let's see, my daughter was born in 2000. It was probably
like 20 years ago.
2014, maybe.
Oh, 2014. Okay. So about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Because I remember when you did Dream Police with the orchestra. Because I went to that in Wisconsin. And then I know around that time you were also doing some Sgt. Pepper shows.
Yeah, we did it there quite a bit. We did it three different stints out there with Sgt. Pepper.
Do you like Vegas? Are you a fan of Vegas? Will you stay there for the week between the two weekends, or are you going to go home and come back?
No, I'll go home and come back. I've got a lot of stuff I have to do at home. So I'll be in and out. But the last time I stayed in LA and drove back and forth, which is about a 4-hour drive, you know, and right. I had a place in Vegas and in LA. So I would stay in Vegas for the shows that we did. And then I would, for the days off, I would drive to LA and stay in the home there. But it's, you know, it doesn't matter where you live. It's who you live with.
Exactly. Well, it's going to be great. I'm glad you're doing this. And you, as you mentioned, that first weekend is a crazy weekend in Vegas with a lot of stuff going on. But I do plan on coming to see you one of those nights. So I'm looking forward to
come.
It. Yeah, I will come. I will absolutely be there. And for you, Robin, and I always tell my audience this, I mean, I constantly get complaints from my audience about other bands because it's like every show, it's the same songs, it's the same set every year. You can never say that about Cheap Trick. Nobody could ever say that about you guys. Where does that come from? Because, you know, a lot of bands, if I talk to a lot of bands privately about why they don't change their set list more, when they're being honest, they'll tell me it's laziness because they have to rehearse those songs and it becomes work and they get so dialed in to the routine and just knocking it out. Yeah. What is it for you guys that makes it so easy seemingly to change the set on such a regular basis?
Well, it's pretty much what you talked about before, you know, about I want you to want me. Don't you get sick of playing that every night? Well, you would if there were 21 I Want You to Want Me's in the set.
Right.
You know, so what we do is we change it around and mix it up so that we don't get sick of these songs because it does get, and the lazy part, what they don't know is if you start adding little bit at a time, some outtakes or some not hit songs and stuff and change your set around a little bit at a time, before you know it, you don't have to rehearse because you know all those songs. And if you need to rehearse something, you just do it at sound check. You know, it's one little step at a time. And before you know it, you can pretty much pick and choose from your whole repertoire. What you want.
Did you guys always do that pretty much from the beginning? Or is that more of a recent thing, having all that diversity in the set?
Well, it pretty much started. Of course, you have to change your set around with every album. So it started like that, where if you do an album, you do In Color, you got to do songs off In Color. If you do Then Comes Heaven Tonight, you still do In Color songs, but you got to do some Heaven Tonight songs. You know what I mean? And it just accumulates like that. But our set didn't change drastically until about 10 years ago, I'd say. And 10 years ago, we decided, because we'd already known all those songs, why don't we just wait until an hour before the show and decide what we want to do? And that's what we do. We sit in the room and backstage. When you want to do this song, sure, let's do that. We haven't done that in a while, you know, that sort of thing.
And I mean, Rick jokes with me all the time, but I don't know if half the time I never know if Rick is joking or not. But when I say to him, well, how do you know this stuff? Like, don't you have to rehearse? He goes, we don't rehearse. What are you kidding me? I mean, do you truthfully not rehearse?
We don't.
Like, if somebody yells something out that you haven't played in 10 years, 15 years, you're just like, yeah, we can knock that out.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, our mistakes are better than anything we could think of.
And you know what's even more amazing about that is, of course, you've got Dax back there on drums, who he's got to know everything. And now your son,
Rick and I just follow them. I mean, it's terrible to say, but, you know.
But how about your son? Because now that Tom is back, your son's going to remain in the band as a supporting musician like he was, right?
Yeah.
So does he know your catalog that well?
He does.
That's incredible to me.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That is really cool.
It would be incredible if those two kids didn't grow up with our music. I mean, they grew up listening to our music. So, you know, they were pretty well rehearsed in that, all that stuff.
Right. But I mean, I talk to a lot of musicians who have kids and they're like, yeah, my kids don't know anything. Like they don't listen to me. They listen to Rihanna or something. They have no idea.
Right.
So you're lucky that both your son and Rick's son, you know, did, because it's in their veins. It's great.
Well, Dax, he grew up listening to Metallica, you know, and, out of all the Beatles, my son loves George Harrison the most, you know, stuff like that. It's right. just a strange way they look at things, but they're so smart. I mean, they retain all that information. They know it all.
Dax grew up listening to Metallica. You better make sure you're not looking for a drummer on that first night on that Friday. He might be trying to find a way to get to the stadium.
Oh, well, he could fit right in. I'm telling you, he could push that guy off the stool.
You may need your son to sub for Dax on the first night just because he might try to get into the Metallica show.
He's capable, I tell you. If Dax wanted to do that, I'd be all for it.
Well, I'll tell
not
you
sure
what,
Metallica everybody would like that much.
Yeah, right. Anyway, everybody go see Cheap Trick. I mean, anytime, anywhere you can see Cheap Trick, go see them because they're always awesome. And if you're in Vegas, one of my favorite cities, and so glad you guys, it's amazing what's going on with music in Vegas right now. There's just so many acts doing residencies are coming through there at the stadiums, the clubs, everything. Yeah. It's amazing. So 25th and 26th of February, March 4th and March 5th at the Strat. Cheap Trick doing these very unique set lists, as you just heard Robin say. Is there a chance you would do more and add more shows at some point in Vegas?
Well, we'll see how this goes. And if need be, we can do more stuff. You know, it might be the same idea later on because more people want to see that decade show. And it may be something else. I'm not sure. They'll have to, you know, you have to have Alan or one of those promoters or somebody call you up and say, hey, you guys want to do something else? You know, okay.
And you mentioned at the top of this interview, before I let you go, you have a busy year lined up in 2022. Beyond the Vegas weekend, is it just a bunch of shows? Are you going all over the world? Is it U.S. stuff? What are we looking at?
We're going all over the world. We're doing U.S., we're doing U.K., we're doing Germany and Portugal and that whole European thing. And then Australia, we're doing that, and we're doing Japan. And so in South America, we've got shows coming up in South America. So it's going to be a year-long deal.
Fingers crossed it can all happen, right?
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of it's not up to us. We can make plans with the promoters, but every single plan is tentative, you know, because of it.
Yeah. And last thing, In Another World, phenomenal record. We did a whole thing with the whole band, of course, when it came out. You're still putting a couple songs in the set every night from that. I saw you do it in Florida, sounding great. Have you guys knocked around the idea of another record yet, or is that still a bit down the line?
Well, that's kind of what I'm doing here right now, is just thinking about what it can be like and maybe getting some ideas for songs and stuff. But yeah, we're going to do another record. You know, if we didn't, we'd probably give it up.
Right. Yeah, you had mentioned that. For you guys, you could easily lean on the catalog, but for you, it's important to make new music and put out new music every couple of years. Yeah.
It is.
And there's no reason to not do it when it's as good as the recent records. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. And if it wasn't, if it was just a bunch of pablum, you know, we'd probably give it up anyway. So,
yeah.
But you got to remember there's, you know, with songwriters in the band that I'm in, I mean, come on. You know, there's three songwriters and it works pretty well, I think.
And we even had Tom back up there singing a lead vocal in Florida the other night. That was so great to see him up there doing it.
Yeah, that was his idea. You know, we all said, go ahead, man. Let's go.
Yeah, that was a great welcome back to see Tom back on stage and singing and playing. And it was awesome. So, well, man, it's always great to talk to you and see you. And I will see you in Vegas because I do plan to catch one of the shows, one of them at least. And everybody go see Cheap Trick at the Strat, Vegas, again, last weekend of February, first weekend of March. Get your tickets. Just go to cheaptrick.com or whatever website, Ticketmaster, whatever's handling the tickets, and go see one of the truly great bands we have out there still kicking ass. Good to see you, my friend. I'll look forward to seeing you in Vegas, if not sooner.
We love you, Eddie, and looking forward to seeing you.
Same here, man. Thank you. Take care.
Stay safe.
Well, as I mentioned, that interview was also done over Zoom, so there is a complete video of it. And you can check that out on the SiriusXM app if you have Sirius or XM Radio. I certainly hope you join me every day on the radio show on 106, the Daily Trunk Nation, live daily 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, that's where all these interviews come from.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Everyone knows that the best way to tell a good story is over a good drink. Spirit in a Bottle, tales and drinks from Tito's Handmade Vodka, brings them together. In its first ever cocktail book, Tito's offers fans recipes, mixology tips, and a never-before-seen look at its journey from a one-room distillery to becoming America's favorite vodka. Order your copy today at titosvodka.com/book. Read it and sip with Tito's. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So coming up next, Richie Kotzen. And as I mentioned, Richie Kotzen, when he did this interview a few weeks ago, it was in advance of shows that he had coming up with Adrian Smith. He did a record with Adrian Smith under the name Smith Kotzen. So he was promoting the five shows they did on the West Coast. Those shows have all since happened. By the way, they all got rave reviews. I unfortunately did not make any of them, just because of logistics, but I know people who did go and they said they were phenomenal. So hopefully they'll be able to link up again to play some live shows somewhere down the line. Richie finishing off the Winery Dogs record and also getting ready for some solo dates, and is with me right now on the Monsters of Rock cruise where he is performing solo. Phenomenal talent. Here he is, Richie Kotzen. Richie.
Hey.
So Adrian was supposed to be on with you today, and he bailed at the last second. Is there trouble already in the Smith Kotzen camp? Has he had enough of you, maybe?
No, absolutely not. There's no trouble whatsoever. Of course not.
I just figured he had enough of your hijinks and your funny teeth and all your antics.
And that's really the reality. I have this vision early on. I scared him so bad, and it was completely unintentional. And usually, you know, my antics are pretty deliberate. But somehow that he was getting out of his truck.
Hey, hold on. Are you on a speaker? Rachie, are you on a speaker
or
something?
Messing you up?
Yeah, it's terrible. Pick up the phone, please.
Is this better? You got this now?
Yeah, anything's better that you're talking right into. Yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, so go ahead. What was your latest antic?
So, yeah, anyway, you brought up my antics, and I actually, early on when we were working together, I scared him on accident, but he was getting out of his car, and I came out the front door of my house, and I had something that I was going to throw away, and I threw it in the back of my pickup truck, because I have to drive it down to the bottom of the hill to put it in the trash bin, so somehow the timing worked where he was coming right around the back end of the truck, and whatever I threw, it was like a box or something, it landed in the bed of the pickup truck and made like this huge, like, boom. It happened right as he was walking around the back. So he didn't see it, you know, land in there. And I could see him, and he just jumped like right out of his skin. And that was the beginning of the relationship as far as writing. And then one of the other things I did, it was Christmas time, and he was over here, and we were working together, and I had wrapped up a picture of myself that was the, inner sleeve of Into the Black. Somehow someone made a poster out of this. And it's huge.
Yes, I know the photo. You're very glamorous in that photo.
Yeah, and I'm laying on the bed. I'm like laying on the side across the bed posed. And so I wrapped this thing in Christmas paper. And I said, listen, I said, I know it's Christmas. I wanted to get you something. I give him this big poster. I mean, it's huge. He said, oh, right, mate. You know, he starts unwrapping it. And he looks at it. He goes, right, it's quite lovely, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, it is. I said, it's for you. And you can put that in your house, wherever you want. I know, you know, Natalie's got a lot of artwork, so you guys can put that in the entry, anywhere you want. And he's like, he's leaving. And he's taking it. I'm like, dude, I said, I'm totally kidding, man. This is a joke. He's like, oh, man. He said, thank God. He said, I didn't know what to do with this thing.
But you got it. I'm laughing so hard because I know that photo. For people that don't know that photo, you have to see it's Richie in his most glamorous and pinup mode, if you will. It looks like a centerfold.
Absolutely.
So I could understand. By the way, brilliant record. Photo inside, yeah. I can't imagine, you know, Adrian, who's a very mild mannered guy.
Man, you know.
Well,
you
know.
Part of my... Yeah.
So wait a minute. So before you decided to do a band with Adrian Smith, you guys were clearly friends and met. So he must have known going in that there was going to be some ball busting, and he's a pretty mild mannered guy. So that dynamic must be pretty interesting.
No, we get on real well. No, we really get on great. It's really great, and you know, we have a lot of fun working together. And actually, we've got. You know, we got some new ideas, believe it or not. We actually had the time, you know, inside all of this preparation to play live, a few song ideas have been flying around too. So, you know, who knows? We'll see.
So where is he now? Did he couldn't do this? Did he go to England, or is he just not, is he busy, or what happened?
I don't know exactly. You know, I just got up today and found out that you and I were going to talk. So here we are, you know.
Right.
I know that we got our first show coming up here on Saturday in Ventura at the theater out there, and so that'll be good. And then we've got these other shows, you know, the whiskey. We're coming to. Are you going to be in Vegas, by the way, when we're in there?
I'm going to try. I'm fully aware of the date, and I want to see you badly, so I'm definitely going to try. It's on my calendar. I'm just not sure if I can get back there in time, but I'm going to try. I saw the dates, though. I ran them down. 15th. So you play in Ventura, California, as the first show on the 15th, which is this Saturday. And then you've got, like, what, 4 or 5 days before the next gig at the Whiskey. Why the break in there?
That's just the way they booked it. You know, these things are not really, you know, totally in our control all the time. You know, obviously, you know, it would be nice to just kind of get on the horse and stay on there, you know, and just play right through. But it really comes down to what rooms are available. And, you know, a lot of the questions I'm getting online, you know, why aren't you coming here? Why aren't you coming there? And basically, you know, we have limited time and we wanted, and, you know, it's really difficult to plan a tour now, obviously, with all the COVID things going on. So we wanted to do something that we thought was possible and feasible. And so it just came together that these California shows and the Vegas show, you know, we were able to get out there and do them. You know, obviously we'd like to go all over, but, you know, we figured, well, we can pull this off now. Let's try to, you know, exploit this time that we have together and do some shows and show the group and get in front of people.
Was it important for you to do some live shows with this so that people knew this really was a thing versus a project? Like, and I don't know, maybe you do view it as a project versus a full-blown band. But, you know, I talk to a lot of artists, and they feel that to really validate what they've done on record, they feel like they at least need to do a handful of shows to show people it's a real band. Was that important in your thinking?
No, and you know, it's funny, that came up years ago when we did the Winery Dog record, and I don't think in those terms, I never did. To me, the music is where my focus is. So, you know, the minute you write songs and you record them and you put them out there, you know, that's it. You did it. You created the music. You know, live is a whole other thing. To me, live doesn't validate or discredit anything. That's a different animal. To me, the focus is writing the song, recording it, and then eventually, you know, presenting it, releasing it for people to listen to. So, you know, that's the beginning and the end of the validation for me. Now, if you can get out there and play, then that's great. But if you don't, it doesn't discredit your art form whatsoever. So that's something that other guys get involved in that conversation. I don't really even think about it. But on having said that, obviously, you know, getting out and playing is great. And I haven't really, aside from that, you know, sitting in with Buck Cherry a while back here in California when they played, I haven't been on stage in 2 years. So, you know, this is, there's all kinds of things going on here in my mind, figuring out, you know, all right, how's this going to go? How's that going to go? And, you know, during the pandemic, you know, lockdown, a lot of guys were woodshedding and playing. I went the other way. I didn't do anything. So, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to get back on the horse here and, oh yeah, remember who I was. Yeah, I can do this. I can sing, I can play, you know.
Are you have you guys rehearsed yet for the show this weekend? And
yeah,
set list wise, what are you going to do? I imagine you're going to do the album, you're going to do the EP stuff, but are you going to do, will there be a couple Maiden songs? Will it be a couple of your solo songs? How are you going to fill out the set?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good question. So we got, naturally, before I tell you about the set, I do want to mention we got a smoking rhythm section. We got the drummer Bruno Valverde, who you'd know from the band Angra. He's playing drums with him. This guy's a monster. And mm-hmm. my wife, Julia Lazzi, is playing bass. And for those people that don't know, yeah, she's, you know, been an arena artist in her country in Brazil for 13 years. She was in a band down there that played arenas regularly. And so she's killing it on the bass, and they sound incredible together, just making it real easy.
So wait, you've got an all Brazilian rhythm section.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So we got some good food here on the breaks too, you know, in between. Yeah.
Well, set list wise, like song wise, what are you going to do outside of stuff that's on the record?
Yeah. Okay. So we got the record, obviously, which is 9 songs, and then we got the EP. So that's another 4. So we've got, 13 original compositions. And then, you know, I don't want to literally say, you know, I want to have a little bit of element of surprise, but we've got it rounded out. So I think it's going to be a solid look, you know, and it's fun playing this stuff, man. It's really cool to actually, it's perfect for me to come back in the mix doing shows where I can share lead vocals, you know, being that I've been out of the game for so long. So it's nice to, you know, have Adrian singing halfway and me the other half, and the same thing with the solos. So far it's been real cool. I think it's going to be great.
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, the vocal thing trading off is one thing, but the thing that I think is interesting for you is the fact, and I call it, when you and Adrian were both on together, when the record originally came out, I talked about this, is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but almost everything you've done, whether it was when you were in Poison, when you, Mr. Big, your solo stuff, has always been you as the single guitar player, single guitar thing. So this is, in a way, this is really different for you playing, splitting guitar, isn't it?
Yeah, I get, you know, you're saying that, and I'm saying, yeah, you're right. But then I remember I had this group, 40 Deuce, years ago, and there was another guitar player who did a lot of the writing with me. So, but you know, in that band, when we did play live, you know, we toured Italy, and I was the lead singer, so I wasn't really playing much guitar. So, yeah, you're right. I guess this is more, you know, a shared, you know, 50-50 kind of thing. Because even in that other band, you know, I actually played less guitar than he did. So. Yeah, you're right.
And that's a good record, by the way. If people want to hear a really cool hard rock record that Richie did that flew under the radar, certainly here in America, the band was called 40 Deuce. That was really cool. Is the window, Richie, to do this now because you've also got to get it in before Adrian ramps up with Iron Maiden? We know they've got a record and schedule and this whole global thing that they hopefully will be able to get in. Is that the idea, too, is to try to get these dates in before you lose him to that world?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said earlier, this is like the perfect window. And then, you know, like I was saying, people say, oh, why aren't you coming here or there? You know, we're trying to do the best we can to at least get out there on some level and show the group and play. So, you know, this was the window that made sense. You know, we've got some UK dates that are up as well that we're looking forward to. So, but yeah, you know, we have the time we have, so we're trying to take advantage of that.
The website is smithkotzen.com, and again, the band is simply called Smith Kotzen, Adrian Smith and Richie Kotzen together, the Records Killer. And again, there are just a handful of U.S. dates if you're in California, or the one in Vegas, which is coming up at Vamped on the 22nd, at the Whiskey on the 20th, Ventura on the 15th, San Diego 23rd, and Roseville, California 26th, and Morro Bay, California 27th. So that's it for U.S. shows for now. Again, more details at smithkotzen.com. Let me hit you with a couple quick other things before I let you go. What's the latest on the Winery Dogs record? I know you guys were working. Where does it stand now as far as the progress?
Yeah, I will tell you, but real quick, Eddie, you might have said this, and I didn't remember. Are you going to be in Vegas when we play there?
I don't know for sure, but I'm going to do everything I can to try to be there, yes. If I can, I don't know yeah. yet for sure.
So I'm sorry to sidetrack and answer your question. Yeah, Winery Dogs record, I would say it's probably 85% done. I've got all my guitars done and all my lead vocals and a couple harmonies here and there. But basically now what I'm looking to do, or what we're looking to do, is to get Mike to do some percussion. And we want Billy and Mike to do their vocal harmonies, you know, get their voices on there. And then once they do once they do their harmonies and whatever percussion Mike wants to do, then I'll take it back and maybe tweak a few things and do some, maybe I'll do a couple overdubs here and there, and it'll be done before you know it. I think it's going to be done pretty quick.
Do you plan to get it out this year?
Well, that I don't know. We didn't really discuss when we're going to release it. And the thing is, like a lot of acts, I'm sure, you know, the Winery Dogs is such a touring type thing. You know, I think a lot of the magic with that group comes together on stage. And so we want to make sure that when we set this up, that we can get out in front of people and play. So, and now it's, you know, obviously it's a little choppy trying to organize all this. And I think once the thing's done and we can sit back and listen to it and it's mixed and we know, okay, this thing's done and ready, then we're going to come up with a plan on how to release it and when to release it. But, you know, to guess at it, you know, the soonest I think would be like the end of this year, beginning of next year. I think that's realistic, you know, to set it up right and make sure, you know, that we have a way to get it out there.
And direction-wise, as far as people wondering, you say it's 85% done. The first record, second record, similarities between the two records, but also pretty different records too in some ways. What did you guys go for direction-wise with this record? What can you tell people who are excited about it what to expect musically?
Well, you know, we never discuss direction. We just go and write and see what comes out. But in sitting back listening to it, as it is now in its current state, it reminds me more of the first album than the second album, only because on the second album, I think the production, we went into a few different directions. You know, some of the songs, I don't know, I think we explored some territory on the second record that didn't exist on the first record. And this stuff to me sounds a little more raw, I guess you'd say, maybe more more true to what the band sounds like live, like a trio. And it might be because I didn't really do a lot of overdubs. You know, it's really just guitar, bass, and drums. Not, like I said, I don't know where it's going to end up because there's still plenty of opportunity for me to totally fuck this thing up. But no, I'm just kidding. No, I think it's going to be good. I think people are going to like it. I mean, I play it in my car here and there, and I like it. So, like I said, it's just a matter of getting their voices on there, some harmonies and some, you know, percussion, maybe a couple little guitar. Maybe I'll double a couple lines here or there, or, you know, that sort of thing. But I'm trying to keep it pretty raw, pretty, you know, power trio sounding, you know?
Good, good, good. And people may or may not know, a couple of years ago, you put out an album of 50 50 new songs for your 50th birthday. So you'd certainly have had an insane solo output. But that being said, do you have another solo record in you at some point? Have you been thinking about that, or have you been focused on just the Winery Dogs?
I got three more albums that are finished that I'm waiting to release for the right time.
Are you serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Well, but anything, you put out 50 songs, so you're that insane that maybe you did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, like I said, I didn't really work much through the pandemic. You know, I did some housework and stuff out in the property. But as far as music, I do have a couple of songs that are pretty cool that would be suited only for myself to release. And so they're sitting there, you know, kind of on the operating table, so to speak. But at some point, you know, I'll put something together. I don't feel like I need to run off right now and make another album. You know, we got this, you know, the SK stuff is new, the 50 for 50. I never actually toured on that. I planned on it, but, you know, obviously that came down. And now, you know, there's a Winery Dog record just about done. So, you know, I think I'm pretty set for a while as far as putting stuff out, you know.
And the last thing is your late addition recently added to the Monsters of Rock cruise next month. Are you looking forward to that? What do you got planned there?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, the funny thing is that was the last show that I played before all this lockdown stuff happened. And it'll be the first one that I do, you know, I'm talking about as a solo act. It'll be the first one that I do coming back out. So, I'm looking forward to that as well. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was really, really happy to see that you got added on to that. So I'll definitely be seeing you there as well. All right, man. Well, listen, always good to catch up with you. Final thing, your prediction on your Eagles, as much as it pains me to say it, your Eagles are in the playoffs. Are
Ain't
you optimistic?
Something. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, that's crazy how that happened. I know. I was watching that. I kind of can't believe it. I don't know. And then they got to go right against Tom Brady, don't they? That's how they're coming out of the gate. So good luck.
Yeah, probably one and done.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. They did win the Super Bowl, didn't they?
Could be worse. Your team could have been 4-13 like mine and an embarrassment to football. So you
yeah,
at least did something
that,
to watch.
New York beat the Eagles too. Remember that game?
How embarrassing is that? That one of my pathetic wins is against your team. That's terrible.
That's horrible. I know, it's horrible.
Say hello to your wife, man. I'm that's very cool that she's going to be playing with you. Julie's a great bass player, so that's going to be a killer rhythm section. So say hi to her, and I hope I'm going to do everything I can to get to Vegas. Just a question of my schedule, but if I can get there, I of course want to see this. So smithkotsen.com, the dates are there. Keep up with everything going on with Richie on his own site as well, which is richiekotsen.com, social media, all of that. Hopefully I'll see you in a bit in Vegas, man. Thanks for checking in.
All right, cheers. Bye.
Well, great to visit with Richie. As always, look forward to the next Winery Dogs record and see what else he has cooking. Thanks earlier to Robin Zander as well on this week's podcast. I'm Eddie Trunk. I hope you follow me on social media to keep up with everything going on, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, Instagram, fan page on Facebook. EddieTrunk.com is the website. All my appearances are on the homepage. Be sure to check those out. And thanks to Joel Pollack for producing the podcast. Hope to catch you on the radio live every day, 2 o'clock Eastern Time, on Volume Sirius XM Channel 106. And I'll catch you back here next Thursday for another all-new episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Thank you for listening.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
The Tito's handmade vodka was ice cold, condensation trickling down the copper metal shaker. It's gotta be fresh lime, they drawled. Tart, but balanced. They weren't normally this finicky about cocktail hour, but with Tito's, it had to be perfect. Simple syrup, the final ingredient. The sound of shaking filled the room to the brim. For the perfect pour at next week's book club, try the Tito's Gim Literature. Find the recipe at titosvodka.com. 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.